Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Cartrack Tech Limited Q3 and 9-month FY26 earnings conference call organized by MUFG Intime India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aryan Sumra from MUFG Intime. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you all to the Q3 and 9-month FY26 earnings conference call for Cartrack Tech Limited. To discuss this quarter's financial and business performance, we have from the management Mr. Vinay Sanghi, Chairman and Managing Director, Ms. Anisha Bhandari, Executive Director and CFO. Before we proceed with the call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking and may involve risk and uncertainties. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks, and then we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good afternoon to everybody, and welcome to the Q3 FY26 earnings call. I'd like to start by slide three, which has been shared on the investment deck. It talks about the company over the last 3 years. As you can see here, over the last 3 years from FY23 to FY26, if you look at the company, the revenue CAGR has been 32%, EBITDA CAGR has been 112%, and the profit CAGR has been 83% over 3 years. So you can see the consistency in performance, and that's why I want to bring it out. Quarter after quarter, 3 years, almost 12 quarters, and you can see the consistency in the company's delivery and performance and the execution capability. If you look at the center block, it shows that our cash reserves have gone back to 1,145 crores. The first time, you can also see the return equity is reached double digits, which is a very, very strong business performance from the company from where it was. If you look at the last block, where the shareholder value, if you see the EPS CAGR, it has been 92% over the last 3 years. Of course, the share price is up 94% in the last 3 years during this phase. So the numbers to look for are the PAT CAGR 83%, the EPS CAGR of 92%, and the share price CAGR for 94% over the last 3 years. If you look at and we move to the quarter or the Q3 results, and you go to slide 4, you'll see Cartrack has achieved its highest-ever revenues at 228 crores in any quarter ever in our history. EBITDA has gone up by 56% to 78 crores. It's by far our highest-ever EBITDA. Not only a highest EBITDA by far, it's also almost 15 crores more than the previous quarter. EBITDA is up 23% even sequentially from the previous quarter, right? So 56% year-on-year growth, 23% sequential Q-on-Q growth to 78 crores. We've been talking about margins for many quarters with you, and you can see now margins have gone up to 37%, which is getting best in class in the country now. And it shows the unit economics and the leverage we have in our business. If you go to the revenue, EBITDA, exponential growth, and profit after tax has come at 62 crores, which is up 35% year-on-year. And this is primarily due to an extraordinary item of the labor code provision as per the new regulation being provided of 6.5 crores during the quarter. Otherwise, profits would, of course, be up by 49% if you look at after you include the labor code impact. We continue to have, as I said, 150 million users, yearly users in all our three platforms. The consumer group has grown by 27%. EBITDA is up 55%. And of course, we achieved a 43% margin on EBITDA in the consumer group, which is, of course, now getting at a very, very high rate of margins. And we've talked about how we have the unit economics and the leverage in this business over the quarter, the last few quarters. The remarketing business profit is up by 68%, revenue is up by 12%, EBITDA is up 23%, and as well, our margins in the remarketing groups are at 30% now. OLX has reached the highest-ever revenue in its history in this quarter. It's up 18%. PAT is up 37% in OLX. And OLX also now reached a 37% EBITDA margin ratio. If you look at slide 5, you can obviously continue to be the number one automotive platform, used product platform, vehicle auction platform in the country. Traffic is up to 85 million MAUs during the quarter. 95% organic traffic continues. vehicles auctioned at the rate of 1.9 million vehicles a year. We talked about the revenue at 228 crores, its highest ever in our history. Adjusted EBITDA is 101 crores. It's a cash proxy. It's the first time it's not 100 crores in a quarter. So you can say 101 crores of cash generation during the quarter. PAT is 62 crores. As I said, the PAT would be at 68 crores if not for the labor code. And a cash balance continues to be 1145 crores as we've talked earlier. If we go to slide 6 and look at the consolidated results of the company, revenues up 18%. Operating revenues up 19%. EBITDA is up 56%, margin out here on a consolidated basis at 37%, up from 33% last quarter sequentially. So for, I mean, if you see 400 basis point increase in margins sequentially, just quarter on quarter, and from last year's margin of 28%, we've landed up at 37%. PBT is up 58% before exceptional items. PBT post-exceptional items are 46% and PAT is up 35%. If you look at the 9-month results of the company, revenues up 24%, EBITDA up 77%, the 9-month margins come at 32%, and the PAT is at 74% up, PBT is up 87% up for the 9 months. So you see the growth in both margins, profitability, of course, and the revenues over a 9-month period, which shows the consistency in the performance of the company. If you go to slide 7, look at the consumer group. For the quarter, revenues are 27%. We spoke about EBITDA at 55%. EBITDA margin has reached 43%. And even sequentially, if you look at EBITDA, is up 6 crores just in this one business. And margins have gone from 40 to 43% sequentially. Over last year, margins have gone from 35% to 43%. PBT, as I said, is up 43%. And if you look at the 9-month numbers, the consumer group has done extremely well with a 32% growth in revenue, 106% growth in EBITDA, and a 74% growth in PBT with a 51% growth in PAT. If you look at the remarketing business, there's a 12% revenue growth and a 68% profit growth during the quarter. Margins for the first time crossed 30% in the remarketing business. And if you look at the 9-month figures, 22% up in revenue, 57% increase in EBITDA, and an 80% growth in PAT for the year. So the remarketing business has had a very good year in the first 9 months of the year. If we look at OLX, OLX has had its highest ever revenue in any quarter. It's crossed 61.7 crores, 58 crores in operating revenue, which is up 18%. Profitability or EBITDA is up 70%. OLX margins will be 37% now. And PAT is up 37%. And PBT is up 73%. There is a tax now. OLX has exhausted its, carry forward its tax shelters, and of course now in this quarter taxes being paid in OLX as well. But yes, PBT is up 73%. If you look at the 9-month data, OLX is EBITDA is up 63% and profit after tax is up 92%. So this is a very, been a very strong quarter for us. We feel very, very optimistic about all the three businesses. Just to highlight, all three businesses achieved the highest ever revenue. All three businesses have achieved the highest ever margin. So we feel very, very optimistic. Business has been very strong in all the three businesses. We are even more optimistic about the current quarter, Jan to March, and feel very optimistic that obviously our numbers will get better and better from here. The business or the market seems to be in especially the new car industry or the used car industry or the used product industry seems to be growing. And naturally, we feel optimistic about the current quarter and the quarters coming ahead. This is what I have to say. I'm happy to take any questions now and clarify all your questions and doubts.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sachin Dixit from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on
Thank you. Thanks, Sachin.
My first question is with regards to this USDA, right? So there is obviously some chatter about how it can potentially impact Indian auto industry. Do you have any views on that? If anything, like how does it impact Cartrack's consumer business, if at all?
Yeah. Are you talking about the EU 40% tariff on vehicles?
Yeah.
Is that the question?
No.
Yeah.
This mother of all trade deals that you have signed with EU in terms of free trade agreement.
I'm not obviously studying great detail. It's only been, you know, a day old. The one thing which might affect or help the consumer group are two things. One is if, you know, tariffs or duties on imported European vehicles comes down, it could lead to further demand in the new car industry, which of course could benefit the consumer group. The other could be there could be opportunities to bring other such vehicles in directly. Even by it could be a business opportunity for the consumer group, considering the reach of consumers and the distribution of Cartrack Tech as a group. Obviously we'll try to examine if there are opportunities where consumers here wanting cars from the EU, you know, could use platforms like CarWale or others, you know, for that need. It's something we'll have to watch and see, you know, what the potential of this is, but it's too early to say at this point.
Thank you. All right. My second question is on OLX business side. Obviously, you did highlight in the previous earnings call that momentum is picking. We saw that we improved growth rate by roughly 150 basis points. If I look on a Q1Q basis, 16.6% to 18.1%. Do you see further momentum here? And on the same line, on cost side, we saw that actually both employee and other costs declined QoQ. What is resulting in this decline, if you can highlight?
Yeah, you're talking about OLX cost or overall cost?
Yeah,
OLX cost. Yeah, we definitely see the growth rate of OLX going up from the current growth rate in this quarter. So we do feel that you will see that even further and more amplified. The growth rate is going up in OLX, number one. We feel very strong about the business, both the automotive and the non-automotive side of it. So yes, you will see, in our opinion, a higher growth rate on OLX, the revenue side. Costs are, I would just say, stable. There may be some minor fluctuations on manpower and other costs, but generally stable. We don't see any real serious decrease in costs, or we don't see any increase in costs either. They're just stable, I would say, in OLX.
Understood. Just one final question on the new auto side, if I can take that.
Sure, go ahead.
Last quarter, obviously, we had a 37% growth on this business. This quarter, that is dropped to 27, but still very, very healthy, no doubt. There is, must have also been some base effect that would have played out compared to CQFI25. How do we look at this ahead? Right? Do we still believe this is roughly a mid-20s to maybe a 30 sort of a growth? Or there is potential for this to maybe inch down further by, let's say, a few percentage points?
The growth rate, actually, the first 9 months is 32%, right, in this business. There is a little bit of base effect of last year to Q3 to Q3 the previous year. But generally, it's 32% over a 9 month period. We see no reason why that, you know, we feel quite confident that actually the new car industry in the last 2 months has done extremely well. And like you said, we are obviously beneficiaries of the car industry itself. So we do see that definitely sustaining the growth rate. I'm not able to give guidance whether it's higher or lower, but yeah, generally we don't see any reason for, you know, the growth rate to come down at all. I mean, we feel very optimistic about the new car business.
Got it. Thank you so much and all the
best. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Bera from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks.
Sir, first question is, again, on the OLX side, we had talked about the multiple initiatives on the growth side, which we had taken in quarter three across allied buyers and two or three more product initiatives getting rolled out. So can you just talk about how has been the acceptance, what percentage of our user base have accepted that, just to understand sort of how the growth momentum should pick up in the coming quarters, some more details on that.
Yeah, the Elite Buy actually done extremely well in the last quarter. It's was really commercially fully launched in the last quarter, and we feel very good about the adoption of the platform of the Elite Buyer program. We also feel that this will become a very large revenue opportunity for OLX in the many coming quarters and years. We're already seeing very high traction in the last 30, 40 days of the Alibaba program. It will, in our opinion, as I said, in the coming quarters impact the revenues very favorably, number one. Other products like verification, like we said, is likely to be launched in the next 30 days or so, which is a completely new product to further enhance, customer experience on trust and safety on the platform. That will get launched, sometime in the next 30 days. We feel optimistic about that as well. The growth rate continues also to be in existing products on B2C charges for dealers or C2C consumer charges, et cetera, et cetera. Overall, feel very optimistic about the revenue potential of OLX and the growth rates, which are going to come in the quarters ahead.
Got it, sir. Sir, if I look at the monthly unique visitors for OLX, it sort of has seen some softness compared to last quarter. Is it something more seasonal or anything more here to look at?
There was a very slight seasonality, I would say, in September and September and a little bit of end of December. Generally, traffic has been stable of OLX. User engagement has been stable. Traffic has been stable, very, very stable.
Got it, sir. Sir, lastly, on this margin profile for the OLX, we have seen sort of a lot of cost benefits also coming in the current quarter. Is there any one-time cost thing which has come, or do you think this 35%-36% margin which we have done for the quarter, as we see a pickup in-
Yeah, we think the margin will probably improve, honestly. Like in all our businesses, the leverage is high, right? I don't think cost increasing. If revenue goes up, margin will improve, as we've said quarter after quarter in all our businesses.
Got it, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. I'll come back.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Diya Brijwani from White Whale Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, I can hear you. Yeah.
Yeah. This is Hardik here.
Hi, Hardik.
Just a couple of questions. First one was on, during the quarter, we were pursuing the Iveco deal and then that kind of did not pan out. Can you just maybe spend a few minutes just explaining the rationale, thought process, and how we walked away from it?
I think we did announce that we were pursuing the transaction and we then towards after studying it, at that point decided that for that specific period, decided to put on hold. I think the reasons mostly were around understanding, obviously the potential in our own business seemed so high that we said, listen, this is the right time for that or not. We continue to be very optimistic about the new car industry, which is what the acquisition was about. And we obviously continue to be optimistic about OLX and all other businesses. So the amount of opportunities within the company itself, we felt it is better to hold any inorganic opportunity at that point. That's what that was the reason why we studied it, and then we said it's better to put it on wait at that point of time. I just want to also highlight to the all in the earnings call that also in our results, we have provided some diligence cost, which is also factored into the quarter three results, which you've seen. The results and the margins are after all some diligence cost has got incurred. It's in the expenses of the company already accounted. So, yeah.
Okay, got it. And then just on the previous question on in terms of the consumer growth, I think you maintained, you spoke that you expect to sustain this kind of growth level that you've seen over the 9 months. I just want to understand a little better in terms of the drivers of this growth. When there's a slowdown, I guess the OEMs and the dealers need to kind of push more and so they increase their marketing expense. When, the industry is going through a better phase, would that kind of marketing expense sustain? And so to that extent, can we still maintain this kind of growth or not?
So the industry is going through a very good phase in October, December 1st. And also, the entire last 3 months, industry has grown rapidly. It's had unprecedented growth and volumes in the car industry. I'd just like to highlight that, we're beneficiaries of growth in car sales. Obviously, we will benefit. We're also beneficiaries when manufacturing dealers spend more money on digital, which has been a long secular trend. we also benefit in car ARPU when prices go up in terms of ARPUs, which means people move towards a bigger vehicle like an SUV. So we benefit multiple ways. We also gain market share because we're the most cost-effective way for a dealer or manufacturer to sell a car. We have, as I said, also a large number of almost all car buyers in the country coming to our platforms. So clearly, there's a dependence and high relevance the industry has towards platforms like CarWale and BikeWale, or OLX for that matter, for used cars. So in any situation, whether the industry is down, which we've seen over the last year and a half, or when the industry is growing rapidly, as in the last quarter, our growth rates have been maintained and grown further even. So we've also shown and disclosed in a previous quarter the last three-year trend of growth, where the industry goes up and down, and we found that irrespective of that, CarWale or the consumer group growth rates have stayed extremely robust during all those phases.
Got it. So I guess this is more of a structural shift from maybe offline to digital spend, and then within that, away from, let's say, Google towards platforms.
It is offline to digital spend. It is growth in the industry. It is growth of ARPUs in cars. It is different kinds of cars being sold. Like if you see today, more than 50% of cars sold are SUVs. So it's many things altogether. But by and large, there's a big shift to spending on platforms like CarWale, where the relevance for manufacturers and dealers to spend is very high.
Understood. Just one last question was on the operating leverage. So now if I were to just look at our consumer and OLX, I mean, I think we average around 40% plus margins. How are you seeing, if you continue with this 25-30% metric growth rate, I mean, your expenses have pretty much not grown for the 9 months. Is there any kind of areas you need to invest into, or will expenses remain at similar levels in terms of?
We think expenses are stable. They're not likely to see any fluctuation or any incremental change at all. So they're not likely to change. We've always said that our margin will keep growing, right? And I think we've reached 37% in the group, 43% in the consumer group. We think they'll go further.
Got it. So essentially all the growth that comes through, a very large part of it will continue to pass.
That's correct. That is correct. That's just the nature of the business. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishit Jalan from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Vinay. Hi, Nisha. Congrats on good set of numbers. Right. My question is, obviously industry tailwinds are there, and now that you have studied CarBiko also, just wanted to understand on consumer side of the business, do you think a part of the growth is also driven by market share side of the things? Right, how is it kind of panning out, right? And while operating leverage will be there in our business for sure, and globally there are companies which make 50% plus margins also. So will it be incorrect to assume that in the next 2-3 years, if the growth continues, you could also be a 50% plus kind of a margin business?
Sorry, what's the last part? I didn't hear the last part.
Basically, what I was saying was that if the growth rate continues over the next 2-3 years, these margins could expand from 40% to 50% plus. Basically, what should we look at as the incremental EBITDA margin on the revenues, right? Because your incremental costs are lower in a way, right? So how should we look at, especially the OLX and the consumer business, because that's where the benefits will be much more substantial.
Yeah, two parts. One is the first part, which is the growth in the car industry itself. Since introduction of the GST, we've seen the car industry grow. Our growth rates, if you see a 32%, were even before the GST reduction took place. So clearly, we're beneficiaries of car growth rates. We also benefit when growth rates have been more muted for the car industry itself, right? So because our growth rates have been high in both cases. So we see that the reason that is the case is because consumers come to a platform like CarWale or others to fulfill a need of buying a car or finding a car, etc., etc. And because of the number of consumers and the relevance to consumers which the platform like CarWale has, manufacturers and dealers need to be obviously spending more on platforms like ours compared to others. That could be offline advertising, that could be, you know, Google, it could be or Facebook or other horizontal platforms, and also direct vertical competitors, because we feel we're far more efficient than our competitors are. So I think you're seeing a fact of that, that we are gaining market share, number one. Number two, you're also seeing a factor of, you know, industry level growth and move towards digital. And like I said, number three, it's also a product mix where, as you've seen in the last 3-4 years in India, there's a huge shift towards SUVs by itself, right? So the ARPUs of cars have basically gone up as well. All these factors do matter. And, you know, clearly our job is to make sure that the consumer coming on our platform, our product and improvements or development cycle continues so that consumers keep coming and, you know, growing on the platform. And that's what we are focused on. So that's the first part of the question. The second was, of course, over the last 10, 12 quarters, we've demonstrated to you that costs in companies like this are stable. We see no reason for that to change in the coming quarters. And therefore, yeah, margins as increased revenue, a lot of that revenue will go to margin. And I think if you see the last 3 years, margin's gone from 9% to 37% as a company, as consolidated company. So I don't see a reason for that. I think the trend will just continue. Margin will continue to grow.
Yeah. Maybe just one follow-up. You did talk about that the ARPU going up, right? So ARPU going up, the benefit is indirect, as in the industry revenue goes up and the ability of OEMs to spend more on A&P goes up. Is that the indirect benefit which comes to you, or there's something else also which is there?
It does benefit where the car prices, suppose the average, rather than small cars or sedans, SUVs which are higher price sell, it benefits all stakeholders, right? Anybody in the chain, it benefits.
Correct. It benefits because the industry revenue goes up and the ability of
the industry spend goes up, I would say. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so, sorry, I think you answered it, but I missed out on the OLX side, right? You have started to taken a lot of initiatives to monetize, to edit buyer and seller and all sort of things. Sorry if you have commented earlier, I missed out. But
Actually, Elite Buyer has been extremely well in the last, you know, quarter for us. We feel very, very optimistic that this will become one of our flagship revenue earners in the coming quarters and years ahead, number one. Number two, even existing revenue drivers have gone up or improved. UX has improved. Customer engagement has improved. The growth rates, of course, of revenue have grown. We've achieved higher revenues. But on top of it, we feel the growth rate of revenue will go even up further. I mean, and margins in OLX will also increase further. We feel pretty confident of that.
And on the used car side of the business, right now you are monetizing more from dealer subscription and now very recently Elite Buyer, Elite Seller program. Any plans to get into more value-added services also, like a financing or an insurance or a service or some warranty whatsoever, right? Because that also...
Used car financing is something we're working very closely on a fintech perspective. But like I said, we'll be a marketplace company. We're not like to take any risk or balance sheet risk or lending risk. Ever. So this is like a marketplace model where we're working very closely with a couple of very big banks and NBFCs on launching products on used car financing. I think in the next few quarters, you'll see products like that launch for used cars. There, our relevance is very, very high. If you see data which we've disclosed in the past, where 65% of all used cars sold in India are listed on OLX, more than 1.5 million used car buyers come to every month. More than 1.5 million used car buyers come to OLX and CarWale together. In the last quarter, we also, actually earlier this month, and we publicly disclosed that as well, we for the first time combined the CarWale OLX offering for all dealers in India. So we launched a subscription for dealers, which is combined of OLX and CarWale to increase the base for both companies. So there are many, many used car initiatives going on, and you'll see a lot of the results coming in the next few quarters around the used car side of the business, both in fintech side as well as in the core used car business.
Got it. Okay. Thanks for the answers and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Agicha from HG Hawa. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Amit.
Yeah, congratulations for excellent set of numbers. So with 1,145 crore of cash on the balance sheet, like how should investors think about capital allocation priorities in the next 2 years?
Yes, it's a good question. At this point, you know, the only we are also generating, like you've seen, 100 crores a quarter, right? I mean, we showed you the adjusted EBITDA number. So it's a 1145 in the bank plus 100 crores of cash every quarter at this rate. As profitability grows, even the cash generated would grow. We have almost no capex in the company, you know, almost no need from an investment standpoint in our current business. So all our businesses are high margin businesses. So the intent would be, of course, to look at whether any inorganic opportunities come in the future. And we've been very good at, you know, acquisitions in the past. We've done multiple, you know, successful acquisitions. So part of the use, if at all we come across an opportunity, would be that. You know, and obviously the long-term intent would be to return money to shareholders.
Sir, one more question, correct? Like the employees, like the, are there any talent constraints in data science, AI pricing models or data analytics that could require higher future investments?
We've actually made a lot of investments. It goes in our operating cost. A large part of our manpower cost is product engineering, design, AI talent, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of the investments are being made. These margins and these costs are after making those investments. We are first a technology company before everything else. So this is part of what we do every day. A large part of our team is product engineering, design, and AI talent. So we're building products for Rolex, Carvalho, Samil every single day. So, and new products as well. We also created Cartier Laboratories, which builds only new cutting edge products. A few months ago. So these investments are done, and they're part of the operating costs in the company.
Thank you for answering my question, sir. All the best for the future.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Bera from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up, sir.
Sir,
a quick question on the remarketing business. If I look at the volumes for Cartrade and the auction, seems that the conversion has dropped a bit compared to the last quarter. Any particular reason what is happening here?
No, it is only in the last quarter. I'll tell you, specifically in the used car industry or the used vehicle industry, new vehicle prices came down in September with the GST reduction. Vehicle pricing took some time to correct itself. I think it took 2-3 months to correct because, those are more subjective by nature. So a lot of the sellers tend to be waiting back and saying, listen, am I going to get a better price? And when they realize that used car pricing has changed forever, then they start selling. So it's a bit of a delayed process. And maybe that's why you're seeing a slight conversion difference. That's primarily due to price reduction on the new car side, which affects and impacts the used car industry as well.
So this conversion then, I mean, normal scenario should pick up in the coming quarters?
Yes, absolutely. It's already better. Okay. So yes, that's correct.
Okay. And on the growth side for the remarketing also, I think the last few quarters we had seen a very strong growth, obviously with the low base. But now going ahead, do you think there can be further acceleration to this or this is run rate we should assume for this business?
No, I think we should continue to grow. We feel strong about the business. And we do believe that normally Q4 is much better than Q3 for this business. So we do feel the growth rates and the absolute numbers should get better.
Understood. And the last clarification, I think you have mentioned about 1.8 crore of due diligence cost in the standalone consumer business.
That's correct.
So that should be there in the console numbers as well, right?
It's in both numbers, yes.
In both numbers. Okay, sure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anjali Bajaj from Naredi Investments. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. For giving the opportunity. Other income from Wallet India business declined sequentially in the quarter 3 compared to quarter 2. Could you please explain the key reason for this drop?
Yeah. Anisha, you want to explain this? Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you want to explain the other income, Olex?
Yeah. So, as we had disclosed in the previous quarter, the quarter two, we had a other income write back in OLX, which was disclosed in a detailed note in the financial statement itself. In Q3, we do not have any write back, which is there, which is why there is a dip in the other income.
The way to look at it also is the Q3, the normalized other income, and in Q2-
Yes.
Because the write back was, there was a special item in there.
Okay, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arpit Shah from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Arpit.
Hi, Vinay. Congratulations on a super-
Thank you.
Set of numbers. Great expansion on margins and across all businesses. Just wanted to understand, let's say, over the years ahead, what kind of incremental revenues now would straight pass on to profits? Would it be 80%, 90%? How should we look at that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's that's been the track record, Arpit. I don't see any reason why that will change.
Got it. And you just mentioned that we're gonna be launching something like an OLX Verified for LRN and buyer in the next 1 month or so. How big do you think that opportunity would be for revenues going ahead? Because if I believe, if I just see for Meta, maybe Instagram, Facebook, that opportunity is about $2 billion-$3 billion every year in terms of just selling verified subscription. But how big that number could be for OLX? Any sense?
I don't want to give a revenue guidance around it, but it's a very important product for OLX. And dramatically enhances user experience. It's very innovative, the way it's been brought out at OLX, and you'll see it, you know, in a few weeks. But we feel very, very good about the product and very optimistic about it. It, you know, the revenue, of course, upside will be significant, but we also see that it's a big, big, you know, feature for all users on OLX. It changes a lot on how they interact as a buyer or seller on the platform.
Got it. And how should we look at the remarketing business growth? Because the growth has deaccelerated from what was earlier to, like, a couple of quarters back, and it's now moved to 12% on. But the margin, of course, offset for that kind of revenue growth. But how should we build the revenue growth for remarketing business?
I think we've had a 22% nine-month growth, if you look at it.
Right.
And I think that's the way to look at it. Sometimes quarter is a base effect of the previous year. But yeah, I would think of it, you know, a lot of the business over a nine-month period. And the business actually is a good situation, both the retail side and the repossession side. So I see, you know, some of these growth is continuing. I don't see much change. In fact, the markets are quite favorable for Shriram Automall, as they are for OLX or Carvalho.
Got it. And structurally, the classifieds business, the growth should keep improving now quarter on quarter. How do you think about it?
I feel OLX growth rates will go up. And I think consumer group, which is 32% in the first 9 months, already been very strong, the growth rate. So I don't see. I think you'll see a positive growth rate on from what it is in OLX. The 18.5 will get better. In Carvalho, as I said, 32% already growth rate in the first 9 months. So I don't see. It's been very, very strong anyway.
The growth will keep coming despite the margin that we are at, right? You don't have to spend a lot in getting that growth.
No.
Like the 37-
We don't see much, we don't see much change. We don't see much change in the cost structure of the company.
Got it. Perfect. Perfect. Thank you so much, best of luck.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Yadav from Transient Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity.
Hi.
Congratulations, sir, on a great, great execution. Congratulations to the team as well. My question, so yeah, this has been talk of the town, but my question was regarding the AI wave. And so there are two parts to it, sir. One is there, like, of course, there was talk of threat of disintermediation, where, like, the site visits go down hypothetically, where the LLM itself generates the answer to the query of the user. And the second part was the use of AI tech in the within the company itself. So I would ask you to, like, provide color on both the sides. And with the first part, we are seeing some evolving models globally also, where the data owners like us are moving into a licensing agreement with the LLM organization, where you are charging a licensing fee or that sort and not providing unlisted access. And we are seeing some of those kind of models evolving. And I would urge you to provide color on
sure.
both the things, like outside sure. the organization and inside the organization. Thank you.
Sure. The first way we see AI in the group is at multiple levels, right? I think, then the first thing which we work on is to improve user experience, right? Is if you come onto our platforms, how does our data and intelligence, help you perform a task better? So lots of work is going on and been done and launched even around helping your experience on Carvalho or OLX or Byquality get better, number one. How do you, and like I said, the one thing we've always prided ourselves on is going deep into the journey so that it's very hard for LLM to duplicate what we do. For example, if you come to Carvalho and you want to get a loan approved in a second, our tools help you get an approval from multiple banks within 1 second. I don't think any LLM would be able to do that, right? So our task is always to go deeper into the process of the journey of what we do so that no horizontal platform or an LLM can replicate or duplicate what we do. And the strength we've got is when we look at AI products within, our experience for users, we obviously have public data. We obviously have our own public data. We have our own private data and we have our own private consumer data or customer data, right? All of that is being used for giving you a better response as a user. The LLMs only have public data. They don't get to see all the other three levels of data, right? As much as we're a technology company, we're a data warehouse for the automotive industry and all the industry in all the other industries we cater to. So for example, today, millions of mobile phones are sold on OLX or hundreds and thousands of millions of furniture items are sold on OLX, right? So the amount of data around that helps us serve our customers better. 65% of used cars listed in India are inventory in OLX today, right? So I think we feel that all of this data which we've got of consumer or products or price gives us a differentiated advantage on the AI front to help serve our customers better, right? I think that's what we believe. On licensing and sharing content, no, we don't share content with or proprietary content or our own data with LLMs at all in any licensing arrangement. We think mm-hmm. the data we've got and the brand we have and the platform we have is a differentiator or is differentiated, and we would not want to be licensing or sharing it with anybody else.
Okay. Understood. And sir, regarding the consumer group, what other optionalities you see that you've been talking about, like going deeper into the user journey, facilitating loans is one such part of that. And do we see other optionalities also in the business where we could be, trying to get a larger revenue share of the user car buying journey, especially
the multiple journeys going on. There are multiple right. helping a person in the car buying journey, helping a person sell a car, to get a loan, to buy a car, to buy other value added products, to in OLX, the multiple journeys which help us, serve the customer better and give them a better experience mm-hmm. and go deeper in the process of buying or selling a product.
Could you provide some color on that?
In which business? I mean, are you talking about OLX or Carvalho? Which one?
Carvalho, the consumer group.
In the consumer group. So in Carvalho, yeah. for us, one of the things we help consumers do is how do they sell a car and they buy a car, right? And how they trade in manage, right? For us, buying a car is a journey. It's not about just buying a new car. It's about all these surround activities around it. And for building technology or products which help a user do all those tasks in what we call a one-click environment is what we work towards. And for that, we need to work with the ecosystem, which are dealers, manufacturers, banks, et cetera, to provide products like this. So, I mean, that's an example of how we're thinking.
Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vijit Jain from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity.
Hi, Vijit.
And apologies, I could... Hi, Vinay. I'm sorry, I joined a little bit late and
nobody
took this question. I apologize. My question is, This quarter, of course, we saw all the GST rate cuts that happened on cars, etc., and you know, on a number of other categories too. Two questions. One, at OLX level, did you see any, you know, surge in listing activities, etc., as you know, people might have replaced at a higher pace than they would have done earlier on both cars and other categories. So did you see any indicators there, and how should we think about that as it impacts your business going forward? And second, also how, you know, the car price changes affect, you know, your business across all three categories, if you could give me a broader color on how you think about
We partly asked this before, but the new car, and the start of the new car side, the reduction in the new car prices of GST had an immediate benefit to the new car industry, obviously. And we saw over October, December, new car industry go rapidly, reach and scale highest ever numbers they've ever done. And obviously, car wale and the consumer group are obviously beneficiaries to that immediately, I would say. Consumer demand, traffic demand, buying demand, all that automatically went up on car wale. I think what we saw, I mean, and this is a trend normal, very normal, when prices fall sharply in the new product industry, is used car. The used car industry is almost in a status quo mode where people are wondering whether they sell an old item at a lower price or not, because if the new car prices come down by 10%, the used car price necessarily has to come down by 10%. I mean, this is just the way the economics work. So I think for people who are selling a product, it takes some time to digest that, understanding that what I have is going to affect me 10% less, right? And that takes 1, 2, 3 months to adjust itself. So OLX's growth, a lot of that, towards the end of December, you find that people are becoming more accepting to realizing that the asset value has gone down in the used product they own, right? Because the new product has itself come down. And you found that starting to happen in December onwards in the used car industry or the used product industry. I think in Jan, we're seeing a little more of that, where people who have used products are now saying, listen, this is a new norm of pricing. Generally, as you've seen over the long periods of time and multiple cycles like this, as the new product industry pricing goes down, the new car industry, the new product demand goes up, the used car demand goes up with a lag, because when the used car product prices start going down, you start now finding demand for the used product going even higher. So you should have the massive growth in the used product industry in the next 12 to 15 months, which follows typically the new product price decreases.
Okay. So there's usually a lag there.
There's a lag because it takes time people mentally to adjust to the new prices. But when they do, then the demand dramatically goes up because the affordability of the used product goes up.
Right. Makes sense. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
My second question, within the OLX business, right? So, I mean, if I look at the last quarter, right, and you launched obviously a lot of products here, Elite Wire, Super Series, etc. There was a big quarter-on-quarter jump in the last quarter. And if I use that exit rate that you might have had in September quarter, would you say that these GST-related changes, minus them, OLX would have been higher than this in this quarter, and this is why you're guiding to much better growth rate than 18% YOY going forward?
No, I'm not linking the GST at all with OLX. I don't think OLX was positively or negatively affected with the GST. I just feel like OLX is getting better at everything it does every day, right? It's an M&A which is a little more than 2 years now, and the product changes, the product improvements, the new product launches. By the Super Series launched in Jan, not in December, but it was announced in Jan. So we feel like a lot of what we're doing is starting to pay off. And of course, at the center of it is user experience and transaction volume on OLX is getting better. And we obviously have visibility, you know, towards the end of quarters on how the next quarter is going to be because of the rate and the run rate, right? So that's why I've given a guidance earlier in the call, saying that the growth rate of OLX will go up automatically, right, in this quarter of Jan to March. And that's the guidance we had given. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Last question.
Sure, go ahead.
On the consumer business, right? On the consumer business now, we can see, you know, your trends on traffic across Carwale and Vikewale. In terms of, you know, revenue market share, apples to apples, would you say it's roughly on par with your traffic share, or would you say?
Sorry, just say it, just say it, I lost the last part. Just repeat the question.
So within
revenue share, business, right? The revenue traffic. Are you comparing the revenue traffic growth? Are you saying that?
Yeah. So roughly, if you have a certain traffic market share among classified, and you have a certain revenue market share, would you say your revenue market share is above or below the traffic market share? Is what I'm trying to
understand. I don't want to get into competitive market shares at this point. But the reality is that Tarwale, if you look at the traffic market share, is very dominant in the business it's in, right? And that comes from the number of users which come itself. Clearly, the dominance is displayed in all facets of its business. All its engagement scores, et cetera, and how we serve our customers, manufacturers, and dealers. We also feel very strong about the revenue growth at Tarwale, right? We have a 32% growth 9 months, and if you look at the last 3 years CAGR of growth of Tarwale, it's been extremely strong. So, I would like to keep it at that, but really we see that Tarwale is becoming, clearly a dominant new car, platform.
Got it. Understood. Just last question for Anisha. If you can give me, the split mix between new and used and OEM versus dealer. Thank you.
Sure. Similar with just to what we have disclosed previously, the used continues to be like 15 versus new being at 85. The OEM dealer is at the ballpark 70-30 kind of a ratio. OEM being 70 and dealer being
30. And how about... Thanks. And within the remarketing business, what would you split between, retail and those three categories that you split remarketing
into? Sure. Repo is about 49% of our business. Retail continues to be about 40% of the business, and the balance is corporates.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you, Tisha.
Thanks, Sujit.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deep Shah from NV Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
So my first question is on the consumer business again. I just wanted to understand, over a two-year horizon, do you see growth kind of tapering down? Because firstly, during the IPO, you had mentioned that the penetration of like digital ad spends is around 19%, that currently would have increased to around 35-40%. So it's much closer to global peers. Secondly, it's largely a duopolistic market. So do you see or do you use pricing as a conscious lever? So just and like the base would also catch up. So just wanted to get an understanding of the consumer business over 2 years. How do you see growth coming in here?
Sure. I think the first thing is that spends of manufacturers are in the 18-20% range on platform like ours. I think the 30-40%. You may be referring to, or if you include OTT platforms and television on like YouTube and other things like that, there's a huge headroom for advertising from the offline world to grow in the online world in the automotive industry. So the 17, 18, 20, we think obviously will grow much larger over the next, few years, number one. Number two, we also feel among digital advertising platforms, whether if a manufacturer is advertising on us or other horizontals, we feel we offer far more of value to dealers and consumers. So we see a clear increase in our market share in spends. Number three, we definitely see the automotive industry growing at a particular rate for the next 5 years. And we've shown that even if the industry growth is more muted, we continue to grow because of the shift towards spending on platforms like ours. And number four, we definitely see, as prices and ARPUs of cars and the mix of cars changes, we benefit from that. So the multiple factors, I think, right from user growth to all these four factors, which is why we see that, the consumer group has continued to grow over the last 3 years. Even this year has grown at 32% for the first 9 months. We see no reason for this change for the coming few years at all.
So the 20% penetration you said is on the auto portal side, right?
It's on automotive plus all other such digital platforms.
So would like Meta, Instagram, all of that would come in here?
Yeah, that would come in that, yeah.
Oh, okay. And on pricing, do you see that as a conscious lever to, increase your support your top line?
Yeah, prices change based on product change and mixes too, right? I think we're not a company which charges more for doing the same thing. We normally try and increase value to our users to manufacturers, dealers by, you know, when their prices change or when we provide more services to them. I think that's the way we think about it.
Okay, noted. And just in addition to the previous question on a mix on the remarketing group, the 10% corporate that you mentioned, how would you differentiate between the retail and the corporate? What do you include in the corporate?
Retail is a single user. Corporate is someone who's got bulk vehicles. This is different. I mean, a corporate could be retail company. Yeah.
Fleet owners would be corporates.
Yeah, fleet owners could be corporates. Yeah. Individual is just a single individual user. Yeah.
Okay. And the last question was on OLX. You mentioned that the growth would pick up from them. Could you just elaborate on the non-auto portal? I mean, when you had acquired this, the focus was largely on the auto piece of the business. How are we scaling up the non-auto piece? And
The non-auto piece has also grown rapidly. I mean, in this period, the non-auto growth has been slightly ahead of the auto growth. So it's been pretty strong. There are multiple parts of it, from electronics to goods to mobiles, furniture, bikes, jobs, real estate, the multiple parts of it. We feel very optimistic about all those. In fact, in mobile phones, there's almost 25% of all phones sold are listed on OLX. We've shared that market share data as well publicly. And even in furniture, if you today in India are selling a table or a chair or anything else, OLX is a single destination where, you know, 180, 190 million Indians come every year to sell something or buy something. So it's a very strong platform for used products from a non-auto standpoint. Of course, an auto, 65% of cars are listed on OLX, but even on non-auto, we find that the traction and the adoption extremely high and very optimistic about the non-auto side. It actually fulfills a very major need for the population of India, that if you ever want to sell something, I think this is the only methodology you can use to sell what you have. It could be a piano, it could be anything. And we said before that a lot of this operates hyperlocally. So if you are listing, you know, an item in a particular geography, within a 5-kilometer geography, there's a buyer for you. So very strong platform, very strong transaction metrics, and extremely strong adoption by users.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, and all the very best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shrenik Mehta from Indo Alps Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for giving this opportunity. I had two questions. Number one was on the ROE. So you have a fairly strong glide path to the growth here. When do you think in the next 2-3 years we can come to a more ROE which is closer to, say, the growth that we want to take, which may be in the range of 20-25%?
You know, I don't want to give a guidance on when that will happen, but clearly we see the ROE going up because as profitability goes up and there's lack of, you know, capex or other big investments being made, we clearly see the ROE going up in the company.
Yeah. Okay. And second, I was thinking a little bit about the AI. So do you have some AI case which you've utilized in your company and has been very successful to bring the business growth for you? Any one user case?
There are multiple interventions of AI. I think the one which is already live, which all users use even today, is if you list a product on OLX and let's say you list a car and you put a photograph of a or something else, our AI tool immediately will check on it and obviously guide you to say, listen, this is a wrong product. So there are multiple small interventions like this, but AI is being used across to enhance, you know, user experience on CarWale or OLX. There's a lot of pricing information. So if you go to CarWale today and you're buying a used car, it'll immediately guide you, tell you what price you should pay, which is all intelligently, you know, as you know, used car pricing is an extremely complicated, you know, item, and this is all done through AI. So multiple interventions, but there's a long, long way to go. This is the beginning of the AI interventions in the business.
Okay. Appreciate your feedback. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will take that as the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aryan Sumra for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. I would like to thank the management for taking the time out for this conference call today. And I would also like to thank all the participants. If you have any queries, feel free to contact us. We are MUFG Intime Investor Relations Advisors to Cartrade Tech Limited. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Cartrade Tech Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.